It is FX Sunday, and because it's FX Sunday, we got to start out with a game, right? We got to have some fun together. I did not tell any of my kiddos or my students that I was going to do this today, so we're going to see who volunteers. Hi. I need four volunteers in the kiddos or youth ministry. Or if you want to be a real big kiddo, you can be a real big kiddo. I'm okay with that too. All right. Shelby and Brandley, come on up. Come on up, Sophie. Ooh, Ethan and Noah, rock, paper, scissors for me. All right. Okay, so again, they have no idea what they signed up for. You're going to come over here. Charlotte is going to blindfold you all so you can't see what is about to happen because you don't need your eyes for this. You need your ears. This game is a little game I like to call, Can You Hear It? All right. Hi. Can you see me, Brinley?
No.
Okay, good. That's great. All right. So I'm going to reach in here, and I'm going to pull out something that makes sound. Okay? And you guys just have to tell me what you think it is. Simple enough, right? Okay. Ready? First thing. Brinley, what is this?
Rattle.
Okay, is that your final answer? Okay, you can take your blindfold off. You're close. You're pretty close. Yeah, good job. Give her a hand, everybody. Give her a hand. All right, next up is big sister Shelby. You ready? Yeah, great job. You can take your blindfold off. Beautiful. All right. Next one. Sophie, are you ready? This one. Oh, Lila, I'm so sorry. Man, we'll blame it on pregnancy brain. That's what we'll do. Okay, you ready? What is that? Yeah. Open your eyes. You can take your blindfold off. See, specifically, it is a giraffe maraca. It's a very special one. All right. All right. So, Noah, you have a very tricky one, okay? So you have to listen really, really hard with your ear, okay? I'm going to take your hand, and we're going to step forward just a couple steps, okay? I'll let you know. Step one more foot. One more. Nope, it's going to be real quiet. That's why I have to have you come closer. Okay. You ready? Real close.
Something being crunched?
Well, there is a little bit of that. Now come real close, real close. Can you hear it?
Baking soda and vinegar?
Oh, he said baking soda and vinegar. That's very, very close. That's very, very close. You can open your eyes, take your blindfold off. It's Alka-Seltzer tablets, which is basically what you said. So great job. Thank you, guys. Y'all did a great job. Thanks for being willing to sign up for what you didn't know was going to happen. All right, give him a hand, guys. Oh, goodness. So, awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. On this FX Sunday, as Jen told us, we're going to be talking about prayer. It's the next practice before us in our Practicing the Way series. And I have to be honest. When Pastor David told me this was the topic I'd be talking about with you all, I was kind of intimidated because very often when we talk about prayer, we talk about talking, right? We talk about the things we can say in prayer, the ways that we can go about talking to God, the right words that'll grab his attention. And I'm an actor. I don't do well without a script. So I'm thinking about talking. It's the approach that I took when I started to process through this message, but I didn't get anywhere, because if I'm really being honest, this video up here is what a lot of my prayers sound like.
Sometimes I'll start a sentence, and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way, like an improv conversation. Improvisation.
I am so much of Michael Scott. I love that man.
And I want to be clear here. It's okay. This is okay if this is what we sound like when we talk to God, right? Because God understands, he knows, right? We can just talk to him. But when this is what my prayers look like all the time, I was really struggling to think how I was going to stand up here and talk about talking to God for like 15 to 20 minutes. But then I started thinking about the questions I get from students about prayer. Because they don't tend to ask as often about what to say to God. The question I get most is, how do I listen to God? And you know, I haven't really had an answer for them. I found I actually had a lot to learn in this area. So if it's all right with all of you, I'd like to share what I've learned this morning. Is that okay? Oh, I love it when you respond. Great job. So when I was thinking about listening to God, I went to a place where a lot of us might think that we'll hear from him most clearly. I went to his word, right? A whole book filled with all the ways that God has spoken to his people for thousands of years. And as I talked to others around me, they all suggested the same passage, Matthew 6, 9 to 13, otherwise known as the Lord's Prayer. Makes sense, right? So let's start there this morning. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And we, as the church, add, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." One of the things I love most about this passage is its simplicity. Jesus gives us a full blueprint for how we should pray in just 5 short verses of scripture. But it's also one of those passages that I've really kind of struggled to understand and relate to simply because I've heard it so many times, right? You're growing up in church. I grew up in multiple different denominations, and in all of those churches, we recited it every single week. So honestly, it got to a point where I was just listening really hard to know if I was supposed to say debts and debtors or trespasses or sins. Anybody else? So I'm sitting with this. I've gotten to this point, and I end up meeting for coffee with Mary Rollins, who you're all going to get to hear from a little later on. We've recently started doing this, just meeting for coffee once a month over the past few months, and it is my favorite thing, just to share thoughts on life and ministry and the Lord. It has been so, so life-giving, and it was perfect because Mary is really passionate about prayer. And so I told her about this message that I was working on, and she told me I should read some books by Pete Gregg. He's the man who's credited with starting the 24/7 prayer movement in the modern church. And she tells me about his book specifically, How to Pray. Perfect. And here's where things really started coming together, because Pete uses the Lord's Prayer as his through line in his book. And in it, he isolates 4 different elements that Jesus is calling us to observe in our prayers. And he breaks it down into this really nice acronym using the word pray. P-R-A-Y. It's perfect. So we're going to explore those 4 elements together for a little bit, if you'll let me. Still with me? Yes. Okay. So the first is pause. As the psalmist says in Psalm 131:2, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." Pause. Take time out. Practically, this looks like removing yourself from the busyness of any given day. Pete gives several examples in his book. For some, it's a chair. It's a specific chair in their living room. For Susanna Wesley, Charles Wesley's mother, it was literally throwing her apron up over her head to get a break from her 19 children. Whew, she's impressive. But you just take, for me, it could look like drawing or journaling. When I was in college, it was taking a walk around Sterling Lake in the town where I went to school. But the point is, you stop and you center your mind on prayer. That's the Our Father in heaven piece. And next is rejoice. This is taking the time to celebrate who God is and what he has done for us. It brings to mind for me the image of Abraham and others in the Old Testament who would build altars to the Lord in places where he had brought them through something. And there are so many Psalms, at least 33 of them that I could find, that reflect this idea of praise and thanksgiving. So for us, it could look like praying through those Psalms. It could look like reflecting in the beauty of nature. It could be something as simple as stopping in one of those special moments in life just to say, thank you for this, Jesus. For me, when I was in a season of life when I really didn't want to rejoice in what the Lord was doing, I was going through a rough season, I would find myself, writing scriptures of comfort to remind me of what he had done. And I was writing scripture references all the way up my arm. This is the hallowed be your name piece. Holy are you, Lord, so good and so faithful. And then we have ask. Hear the words of Jesus on this one from Luke chapter 11. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Ask God for the things you need. And it doesn't need to be fancy, not in the way that you say it or even in what it is. I remember when I was a camp counselor, and all of my youth students are gonna roll their eyes at me because I've told this story before, but I had this little camper, maybe 6 or 7 when I was a camp counselor, who cried at literally anything. And not just a little, but like a full-blown meltdown at the slightest thing multiple times a day. I should also note I had her my very first week of being a camp counselor. Whew. So one of these breakdowns that she had was about a butterfly. A butterfly had landed on a towel next to one of the other kids when we were at the pool, and all the other kids went over and they're marveling at this butterfly while she wailed, threw her head into my stomach, and just started bawling because the butterfly had landed on that kid's towel and not hers. So I just prayed in desperation. I was like, God, would you please just make the butterfly come and see her, because I don't know what else to do and I'm just so tired. If you could do that, it would make everything a whole lot easier right now. And I kid you not, that butterfly flew over to her and landed on her arm. Yeah, it was so good. To this day, it is the most direct answer to prayer that I've ever received, and I will never forget it. This is just praying, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Forgive me for my lack of patience as we forgive those who sin against us. And finally, we have yield. And here's where we take a step back. We say, as Jesus said in the garden, not my will, Father, but yours be done. I think of the story of Mary and Martha here. You have Martha busy with all of the work of the house while her sister is just sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha complains, thinking that Jesus is going to vindicate her for her diligence. But Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. It's like he's saying, Martha, put it down. Yield it to me. Let me show you what I have for you. So we yield to his will. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now we see this framework that Jesus has laid out for us. Pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. Pray. And now I noticed something about these elements, and I wonder if you did too. 3 out of the 4, when I look at them, seem to be more about listening than talking. Anybody catch that? So we pause, right? First we pause, we stop, we don't even talk at all yet. And then we rejoice, which takes thinking and reflecting about who God is and what he's done. We ask, that's the bit where we get to talk and we get to share what's on our heart. And then we yield, we go back to listening. And if anything, we say, you do what you want, Lord. And when I noticed that, I started to see the Lord's Prayer for the first time as a two-way exchange. Rather than the words we say to God, the Lord's Prayer is a conversation we have with God. And then, this is so cool, the first two words of this prayer become so much more special because we say, "Our Father." Jesus does something really revolutionary in those first two words. God is referred to as a father at least 22 times in the Old Testament that I could find, but in all of those contexts, the term's used in a national sense, as in God is the father of all of Israel. But when Jesus uses the term here, he makes it personal. So God becomes relational, someone we look up to, someone we can talk to. He becomes our dad. Pete Gregg shares a story as a dad in How to Pray that I thought was so, so sweet. And it's about his young son, Danny, who comes up to him with this letter of scribbles that he's made with a chunky wax crayon. And he's so proud of his work, so he comes up, and like a good father, Pete adequately praises the work. He's celebrating it, and they're enjoying a moment together. But then Pete is surprised to have Danny emphatically ask him to read it. This letter without any real words on it. And while he's at a loss for a moment, he looks into his son's face, a face he knows so incredibly well. And he knows what to say because he's a father who knows his son. Like the scripture says, "For your father knows what you need before you ask him." And then Danny's response at the end, it's my favorite. Pete writes, "Well done, Daddy," he said in the end, emphasizing each word with an emphatic nod of his head. "That was," he nodded twice, "very good reading." And he nodded three more times. "Well, thank you," I said, nodding my head too, because it really had been some of the very best reading I had ever done. I'm not fully in the season of parenthood yet. Micah and I are looking forward to getting to join that club here in a few short months. Yeah, I'm excited.
Thanks, you got your sweet.
But I already find myself desiring to have this kind of relationship with my child. I want nothing more than to be able to talk to them, especially to listen to them, to hear how their day's been, what they need, if they're okay. I want so badly to learn who they are. I want to get to know them. And that's how God is with us. That's how God listens to us. So this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is designed to help us practice listening like our Father. He's given us the example, and now we get to follow it. So, these students, great job, guys. You got it right. You are asking the right questions. How do we listen to God? And if you're ever wondering what a life of listening looks like, the students have the answer to that too, because I don't think you can do better then looking at Psalm 23. That passage has been rolling around in my head since we took students to Mix and Unite this summer, and I realized if the Lord's Prayer is a blueprint of a conversation with God, then Psalm 23 is a reflection of that relationship that we have on the other side of that conversation. This is the relationship we can have with God when we talk and listen with him like this. Just look at this with me for a second. So we've got our Father in heaven, and the Lord is my shepherd. It's a similar role, isn't it? A father and a shepherd, they're both caretakers. They're both devoted to something very special and important to them. They spend vast amounts of their time caring for their children, their sheep, respectively. They're devoted to that responsibility. Then we have, hallowed be your name. I lack nothing. Both are rejoicing in who God is and what he's done, aren't they? It's a way of saying, God, you are so good. You have proven yourself good and faithful in providing for me. I can say I lack nothing because I know my God has taken care of me. Your kingdom come. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I don't know about you, but that's a beautiful picture of the kingdom of God, isn't it? It's a place where we can find true rest and peace. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I love the reflection that I read from the Enduring Word commentary on this. It said, the shepherd was a guide. The sheep didn't need to know where the green pastures or the still waters were. All it needed to know was where the shepherd was. As Solomon put it in Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Your will be done because I know it is good for me. It is the best plan that I could ever have, and I just want to follow it, Lord. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors or sins or trespasses, whatever you want to plug in there. Relates to you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. King David gives us a beautiful picture in this psalm of this daily bread idea. This table that suggests bounty. There's an abundance here. Preparation that suggests foresight and care. And this idea of it being before me suggesting the personal connection. There is a loving provision seen here. And I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon on the presence of my enemies piece. He says, when a soldier is in the presence of his enemies, if he eats at all, he snatches a hasty meal and away he hastens to the fight. But observe, thou preparest a table just as a servant does when she unfolds the damask cloth, the tablecloth, and displays the ornaments of the feast on an ordinary, peaceful occasion. Nothing is hurried. There is no confusion, no disturbance. The enemy is at the door, and yet God prepares a table. And the Christian sits down and eats as if everything were in perfect peace. Have you guys ever had a relationship that reconciled over a meal? Anybody? Okay, maybe. There's something special that happens when we sit and enjoy a meal together. Relationships are strengthened. A lot of times we can work through things that we've struggled with. We can find in ourselves room to forgive and to be forgiven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That rod and the staff, the rod was what the shepherd would carry to defend the sheep, right? And the staff was there to guide and direct. So we have one for defense and the latter for control. One is for guiding us from temptation and the other is for delivering us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What beautiful benedictions. Both of these sentences speak of peace and trust in a caring father and a steadfast shepherd. It suggests the steady kindness and support that one can count on in the family or between firm friends. The theologian Kidner says, in the Old Testament world, to eat and drink at someone's table created a bond of mutual loyalty, and it could be the culminated token of a covenant. It's a bond that's being formed. So to be God's guest is to be more than an acquaintance invited for a day. It's to live with him. Jesus gives us some different words to this idea in the vineyard with his disciples the night he was betrayed. He said, "Abide with me." And John Mark Comer, in the book Practicing the Way as well, he says the word for abide is meno in Greek. And it can be translated remain or stay or dwell or make your home in. So we could translate the verse like this: make your home in me as I make my home in you. Make your home in my presence by the Spirit and never leave. And a couple of pages later, he poses the question I want to leave us with today. What would it look like for you to make your home inside God? What would it look like to live out Psalm 23 in your life with the Lord's Prayer as your guide? John Mark Comer says it looks like this: enjoying your breakfast and being with Jesus. Braving public transit for your morning commute and being with Jesus. Changing another diaper and being with Jesus. Sorting through your inbox, yet still being with Jesus. Cooking dinner for your family or friends and resting your heart in Jesus. This is what Paul called prayer without ceasing. And so we come full circle. Prayer as a practice is holding an open conversation with God throughout each day, a conversation that involves more listening than talking. It's taking the time to pause, to rejoice, to ask, and to yield as you are led by his will each day. Douglas Sear once said, "Prayer is to pay attention to the deepest thing I know." God certainly is the deepest thing we know, isn't he? And I would add to that, it's also to let him change me from the inside out. So look back for a second over here as we wrap up at my glass of water from our game today. So the water on its own, before we added the Alka-Seltzer tablets, that's us. That's our lives. And prayer is that Alka-Seltzer tablet. So when we begin that conversation with God, when we initiate that relationship, there's excitement, right? It's bubbling, it's energizing, we can hear it. It's exciting both for us and for God. We see and experience how God listens to us and how God shows us how to listen for him. And we are changed as a result. That water is never going to be the same, is it? Prayer is where it starts. It's the beginning of mission, the beginning of worship, the beginning of study, the beginning of relationship. Prayer is how we can, in a practical sense, as Pastor David says all the time, this is how we can walk in the dust of our rabbi. So I want to invite you this morning and this week to find opportunities to stop, to pause, and to reflect and to rejoice with God in all of the goodness he's done for you. Reflect in how he's even carrying you through a dark season if you feel like you're walking in a dark season right now. And then don't be afraid to ask him. Ask him for the things that you need. But yield. Sit back. And say, "God, I just want to watch you work." Here in a second, you're going to hear from Mary Rollins. She sat down with Micah and did a beautiful interview. And I hope you hear from her how she listens to God, how she notices things throughout her prayer life. I want to be like her when I grow up. She's really cool. And then we're going to continue in worship. We're going to continue to be in community with each other. And as you leave, if you're like, "I need some practical tools. I need some ways that I can implement this in my own life," we have packets at all of the exits that go over the prayer practice out of Practicing the Way.
My name is Mary Rollins. I grew up in a church that was probably a little more liturgical than community is. I came to faith in Jesus when I was in junior high, and I was really involved in youth ministry of different stripes at my church. Then I went to college and the wheels fell off. And it was probably close to 10 years later when I started coming back to the Lord. When I started coming back in my relationship with the Lord, trying to figure out how to pray was kind of, okay, I'm not sure I remember how to do this. So when I would get ready for bed at night, I would write letters to God. I mean, letters, it was like, Dear God, ding, 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 ding. And that's how I started praying again. I was involved in a church that had a series of lessons, and one of them talked about going on a God hunt. And a God hunt really is nothing more than saying, okay, Lord, help me notice. Notice the fall leaves. And then notice in winter when all you can see is frost around the edges of fields. In the spring, I saw something I had never seen before. There were these fields that had these crazy purple clover on them that looked like a quilt. And then coming into summer was just like, oh my. God reminded me, said, Mary, there's a rhythm to what I do. There is a purpose to what I do. I can honestly say that that's where my idea of what prayer is and what prayer can be really started developing. Prayer has so many different ways of expressing itself. Probably the one that I utilize the most is called the Lectio Divina, which is simply just praying the scriptures. And it gives me language often that I don't have. The Psalms are full of those kinds of prayers. And what I love about the Psalms is it gives me space for all of my emotions. Because I can come into reading the Psalms and I am six kinds of frosted. And it's like, okay, God, I am here, but I'm not happy. And there's voice for that. I remember my dad was sick many years ago, and a friend of mine told me, you know, Mary, I think it's really okay for you to tell God that because I think he's big enough to handle it. And I was like, really? Are you sure? And I went home and I got my Bible and I got a box of Kleenex and I sat down on my bed and the Lord and I had a sit-to. And I hollered and I screamed and I threw tissues all over my room and I cried my eyes out. And then I had the best nap I'd had in I don't even know how long. And that was the Holy Spirit. The Comforter. That's when I know for sure the Holy Spirit was present. A bunch of years ago, a friend of mine gave me a little figurine, and it was a little girl peeking behind a door and goes, Hi, God, it's me again. And I think my prayer life is like that a lot. It's not very fancy, it's really basic. Sometimes it's really grouchy. But all God wants me to do is show up. In Scripture, Old and New Testament, you find in a number of places that when you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart. So it's all about bringing my heart to God. And I'm pretty wobbly sometimes, but God knows that. I'm pretty distracted sometimes, but God knows that. And he just keeps inviting me to come back. So, just come. Most holy and gracious God, I am just in awe of how you invite us to just draw close. You invite us to bring all of who we are to you. You invite us to bring those things that we're struggling with, those things we delight in, those things we long for, those things we grieve. You invite us to bring all of it. You invite us to bring those things where we know we're broken and we need your forgiveness. You invite us to bring concerns for those that we love, for our community, for all we share our life with. You invite us to come, Lord. We just say, come. And so, Lord, thank you that we can, and that you hear us, and that you receive us, and you never turn us away. We give you praise, we give you thanks, and we do all of this in your powerful and holy name. Amen.